Welcome to Torah Imecha Parsha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rivka Kahan, and I'm excited to learn Sefer Bamidbar with you. Today we'll be learning Parshat Bahalotcha. Parshat Bahalotcha marks a dramatic and tragic turning point in the Jewish people's journey to Eretz Yisrael and their relationship with Moshe Rabbeinu. The Parsha begins in the same vein as the previous Parshiot, with mitzvot that are linked to the nation's religious life and their expected entry into Eretz Yisrael, including the fashioning of the chatzotzrot, the trumpets, that will aid them in battle. And then suddenly, it seems, everything changes. Bamidbar Yud Aleph introduces the first of the national complaints of Sefer Bamidbar in Taveira, followed immediately by the complaint of Kivrot HaTaava. However, the culmination of the Parsha is Perek Yud Bet, the story of Miriam and Aaron's criticism of Moshe Rabbeinu, which leads directly into the tragic narrative of Chet HaMeraglim. There are many clues that make clear that the story of Miriam's Lashon Hara in Perek Yud Bet is integrally connected both to the national complaints of Perek Yud Aleph and to the narrative of Chet HaMeraglim in Perek Yud Bet. First, there are many thematic and linguistic parallels between Perek Yud Aleph and Perek Yud Bet. In both, Moshe enters the Ohel Moed. In both, Hashem descends in a cloud to speak. In both, Hashem is described as angry. Both prakim have a repeated use of the root asaf, to gather. And both mention imprisonment or banishment in the story of Eldad and Medad in Perek Yud Aleph and in the story of Miriam Sarat in Perek Yud Bet. And finally, there's an emphasis on the unique nature of Moshe's prophecy, also in the story of Eldad and Medad in Perek Yud Aleph, and in Hashem's response to Miriam and Aaron in Perek Yud Bet. The parallels between Perek Yud Aleph and Yud Bet point to the shared themes of unjustified complaints, divine anger and revelation, and the uniqueness of Moshe's prophecy, which is sometimes doubted or resented by those around him, all of which are connected to the tensions that are beginning to boil over at this point in Sefer Bamidbar. One excellent way of comparing two Torah texts is to use the Tanakh Lab at alhatorah.org, which allows you to see the two texts side by side with the parallels highlighted, to analyze the text linguistically, and to find out which prakim in Tanakh are the most linguistically similar to the perek that you're learning. In fact, in addition to all of the parallels between Bamidbar Yud Aleph and Bamidbar Yud Bet that we just noticed, Tanakh Lab demonstrates that the perek in Tanakh that is most linguistically similar to Bamidbar Yud Bet is Bamidbar Yud Aleph. As for the connection between Perek Yud Bet and the narrative of Chet HaMeraglim that immediately follows it, Rashi makes that clear in his very first comment on Parshat Shlach. He says, Lama nismacha Parshat Meraglim leParshat Miriam, shelakta al iske diba shedibra ba'achia, v'rushayim halalu ra'u v'lo lakhu musar. Why is Parshat Meraglim juxtaposed to Parshat Miriam? Because she was punished for her slander against her brother, and these wicked people saw and did not learn from it. From all of these hints, in the words of Chumash and the words of Rashi, it seems clear that the story of Miriam and Aaron's critique is an integral part of the narratives of complaints that culminate in Chet HaMeraglim. Alongside the similarities, however, there are some major differences between Miriam and Aaron's complaint in Perek Yud Bet and the surrounding complaints of Bnei Yisrael. Miriam and Aaron don't complain or rebel against Moshe publicly, and their punishment is much less severe than those of Bnei Yisrael in the surrounding narratives. Of course, it's likely that these two things are connected, that the less severe punishment is a function of the fact that they didn't mount any kind of broader rebellion against Moshe, and that it seems that their intentions were far less pernicious. As Rashi comments on Pasuk Aleph, that Miriam did not intend to disparage Moshe. That wasn't her goal. Additionally, Miriam and Aaron, of course, are known for their righteousness. And even in this perek itself, there are allusions to their moments of greatness. When Rashi says on Pasuk Tetvav that the people waited for Miriam to be healed from her leprosy before they continued traveling in the zchut that she had waited for Moshe at the riverbank, I don't think he's only commenting on this verse, but also helping us understand more broadly that Miriam's character and legacy stood as a zchut for her even in her moment of greatest disgrace. At the same time, the Torah is clear about how serious Miriam's actions in this perek were, both by connecting them to the complaints in the previous perek and Chet HaMeraglim in the next perek, as we saw earlier, and by including this narrative as one of the Sheish Zechirot that we're commanded to remember each day. By including Masse Miriam together with some of the most transformative and consequential events in the Torah, Yetziat Mitzrayim, Matan Torah, Amalek, Chet HaEgel, and the Mitzvah of Shabbos, the Torah makes crystal clear the gravity of Miriam and Aaron's doubting of Moshe. To understand how Masse Miriam, for all of its differences, fits into the downward spiral of Sefer Bamidbar, let's delve more deeply into understanding the nature of Miriam and Aaron's critique. Bamidbar Yudbet opens with two seemingly unrelated claims that Miriam and Aaron make against Moshe. The first pasuk says, "Vatidaber Miriam v'Aaron b'Moshe al odot ha'isha ha'kushit asher lakach ki isha kushit lakach." Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moshe because of the Cushite woman that he married, because he married a Cushite woman. The next pasuk says, "Vayomru harak ach b'Moshe diber Hashem halo gam banu diber vayishma Hashem." And they said, "Did Hashem only speak to Moshe? Didn't he also speak to us?" And Hashem heard. What do these two complaints, the ambiguous statement about Moshe's marriage to the Cushite woman and the subsequent challenge to the uniqueness of Moshe's nevuah, have to do with each other? Making things more complicated, when Hashem responds to Miriam and Aaron, he seems to focus only on the second claim about Moshe's nevuah, not mentioning the Isha Cushite at all. Vayomer shimuna dvarai im yeh nevi'acham Hashem b'mareh elav et vada b'chalom adaber bo. And Hashem said, "Listen to my words. If there is a prophet among you, in a vision I will make myself known to him. In a dream I will speak to him. Lo chein avdi Moshe, b'chol beiti ne'eman hu. Not so my servant Moshe. In all my house he is faithful. Pe el pe adaber bo, u'marev lo v'chido tutmunat Hashem yabit, u'madua lo yiretem l'daber b'avdi b'moshe. Mouth to mouth I speak to him, in a clear vision and not in riddles, and Hashem's form he sees, and why did you not fear to speak against my servant, against Moshe?" The Mefarshim, in deciphering the meaning of this episode, tend to emphasize one of the two elements, either Moshe's marriage to the Isha Cushit or the quality of Moshe's nevuah. Let's consider the approaches of two Mefarshim, Rashi and Rav Yosef Bechor Shor. Rashi focuses on the psukim about Moshe's nevuah. In his interpretation, the Isha Cushit refers to Moshe's wife Tzipora, and the complaint of Miriam and Aaron is that Moshe has separated from Tzipora in order to be available at all times to receive nevuah. Miriam and Aaron question the necessity of doing this since they're also Nevi'im and they haven't separated from their spouses, and Hashem responds by demonstrating to them the qualitative difference between Moshe's nevuah and their own. Shitat Rashi works beautifully with most of the perek, since the uniqueness of Moshe's nevuah really is the emphasis of most of the psukim, especially Hashem's forceful response. The problem is Pasuk Aleph, about Moshe's marriage to the Isha Cushit, which is challenging for Rashi, particularly since Tzipora was not from Cush, but from Midian. Rashi addresses this issue by interpreting Cushit non-literally, to refer not to Tzipora's nationality, but to her beauty. Rav Yosef Bechor Shor, by contrast, reads Pasuk Aleph very straightforwardly. In his view, Pasuk Aleph is telling us that Moshe married a new wife from Cush. Miriam and Aaron's criticism was that Moshe married a non-Israelite wife. As for the connection to the psukim about Moshe's nevuah, the Bechor Shor says the following: "Lefi hapshat shayu amrim v'chilo matza Moshe isha mibnot Yisrael shikach lo li'isha shalach lakachat lo mibnot hakushim shehem arelim." According to the pshat, they said, "And did Moshe not find a woman from the daughters of Israel to marry, that he went to marry someone from the daughters of the Cushites who are uncircumcised?" V'chi b'shvil sh'akadosh baruch hu medaber imo mitga'eh she'eino rotzeh lisa isha mibnot Yisrael shebikesh isha b'merchak? And is it that because Hashem speaks to him, he is proud that he doesn't want to take a wife from the daughters of Israel and sought a wife from afar? Halo gam banu diber v'nasanu mi'Yisrael v'lo nitganu b'kach? Did Hashem not speak to us? And we married Israelites, and we didn't become proud? In the Bechor Shor's view, the psukim about Moshe's nevuah are not really about Moshe's nevuah per se, but about Miriam and Aaron's feeling that Moshe's prophetic stature has caused him to become prideful, a notion that the Torah immediately dismisses by noting, "Vahiish Moshe anav ma'od mikol ha'adam asher al pnei ha'adama," and the man Moshe was very humble, more than all people on the face of the earth. The Shita of the Bechor Shor works beautifully with Pasuk Aleph, which he reads in the simplest way possible. It is difficult, however, to understand why Hashem's response focuses so much on Moshe's nevuah when that wasn't really the point of the critique according to the Bechor Shor. For the Bechor Shor, the only significance of Moshe's nevuah to the complaint was that Miriam and Aaron believed that it led Moshe to become arrogant. So if this were the case, one would think that Hashem's response to Miriam and Aaron would have focused more on Moshe's humility and not on his prophecy. In other words, whereas Rashi focuses on the psukim about Moshe's nevuah and reads the complaint as being primarily a questioning of Moshe's unique prophetic status, the Bechor Shor focuses on the pasuk about Moshe's marriage and reads this as a much more personal condemnation of Moshe's judgment and even of his character and midot. In reality, of course, only one of these interpretations can be correct. They can't both have happened. But I think that perhaps the Torah is intentionally ambiguous about whether the whole episode was really a critique of Moshe's nevuah or Moshe's character. In fact, these two strands of criticism of Moshe Rabbeinu, as a Navi and as a person, are often woven together in Sefer Bamidbar in a way that becomes more and more blatant as time goes on. The culmination of such attacks on Moshe is found in Parshat Korach, where again we see the weaving together of a questioning of his prophecy and leadership with an attack on his character. In that parsha, the 250 Nesiim question Moshe's unique prophecy and leadership when they say, "Ki kol ha'ida kulam kedoshim uvetocham Hashem, umadua titnasu al kahal Hashem." All of the congregation are holy and Hashem is within them, and why do you elevate yourselves over the congregation of Hashem? By contrast, Datan and Aviram level a much more vindictive and personal attack on Moshe's integrity when they say, "Ham'ad ki helitanu me'eretz avat chalav udvash lamitenu bamidbar ki tistarer alenu gam histarer." Is it a small thing that you brought us up out of a land of milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness? Must you also lord it over us? As much as the story of Miriam's Lashon Hara is different in substantive ways from the other stories of complaints about Moshe and Sefer Bamidbar, it shares this element of weaving together criticism of Moshe as a Navi and as a human being. And in that sense, it's integrally part of the dangerous pattern of complaints in Sefer Bamidbar. However, as pernicious and dangerous as these personal attacks against Moshe are, the intertwining of the two kinds of complaints against Moshe actually does reflect a deeper truth about his leadership, although not at all in the way that the complainers meant. For Moshe, his whole life is one of such total self-sacrifice and commitment that his shlichut and his character are entirely intertwined. Questioning the mission does mean questioning Moshe as a person, and questioning Moshe as a person is a way of casting doubt on the mission. An attack on one is an attack on the other. They cannot be teased apart. And this is an aspect of Moshe's greatness. We sometimes think of Sefer Bamidbar as the story of the unraveling of the nation and the ultimate unraveling of Moshe Rabbeinu's leadership as Hashem decrees that he won't lead the people into the land. But I think Sefer Bamidbar can be understood more deeply as the story of Moshe's unfathomable self-sacrifice and love for the Jewish people. In Parshat Baalotcha, we begin to see the ways in which Moshe's personality and his mission are so inextricably intertwined that one cannot speak of one without speaking of the other, and how Moshe strives to lead the people even as the odds become insurmountable, and even when the people closest to him, his brother and sister who have been with him throughout everything, doubt his judgment and even his character. Perhaps the ambiguity in the psukim in Perek Yud Bet and the ensuing machloket mefarshim about the content of Miriam's complaint is intentional and highlights the way in which Moshe Rabbeinu's mission as a leader and Navi and his character and experience as a human being were truly two sides of the same coin, such that it was impossible to speak of one without speaking of the other. This may give us a deeper appreciation of the unparalleled dedication and self-sacrifice that we see in Moshe's actions throughout Sefer Bamidbar, which I believe is really the long and difficult love story of Moshe and the Jewish people, and the Sefer in which we see Moshe Rabbeinu's greatness at its most breathtaking. Shabbat Shalom.